Are you happy now, David? Is this what you wanted?
You look.
I look like a cheese puff.
Okay, you said it, not me.
Things get political this week as the senior Roses and Shits try to out-campaign the other for exclusive access to their new motel's presidential suite. David arranges engagement photos with Patrick, who he insists get a spray tan to balance out their complexions, and Alexis gets a surprise visit from Ted, but they hit a bump in the road when a new job opportunity further complicates their relationship. Don't drink the milk, but do tune in as we unpack Season 6, Episode 8, The Presidential Suite. Bum bum ba dum bum bum. Welcome to the presidential suite.
Good way to start, Steffi.
This is one presidential story that you will.
I can get behind.
Yes, will not drain all the blood out of your head.
Excellent.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Shit List.
In the dark time.
In the dark. It's only 7 o'clock, and it is. Feels like midnight. Oh my God.
We, of course, just before last week's episode, well, we in America anyway, switched our clocks back to regular time off of daylight saving time. And I think I speak for all of us when we are now all suicidal by 4 p.m.
Get wrecked. Yes. We hate it. It is interesting, though. This is a presidential episode in terms of presidential suite. We just had an election this week.
Yeah, we did. Nothing. You had something major.
Ohio,
we didn't have anything too crazy here.
Some leaps and bounds that I'm very happy about.
I'm so proud of Ohio this week, Stephanie.
Finally, some like positivity coming out of Ohio. We passed two really important proposals. The first one for a constitutional amendment to protect reproductive rights.
Yeah.
And it passed by about 66%. And then there's also the legalization of cannabis for recreational use.
Yes.
In the state, which is also huge.
So you're finally caught up to Michigan.
You can finally come visit, Katie.
And reproductive and recreational rights.
Yes. So
I am very proud of you guys. Very good. Good job getting it done.
I was very glad to see those results when I woke up on Wednesday morning. Thank you for everyone who voted, not just in Ohio, but around the world, around the country,
in Ohio. Thank you for everyone who voted.
Those international Americans who sent in their absentee ballots. You know what I mean.
Careful now. People might get mad at that.
Yeah. But anyways, that was some big news for Ohio. Also, the SAG strike just ended effective Thursday morning. The strike is over. And it's so good to know that they came to a deal that the SAG union is happy with and feel is fair, and everyone can get back to work and make the shows and movies that we love.
Exactly. So, and I've seen some of our Schitt's Creek cast members just kind of sharing, oh, so happy about this and ready to be back to work. And
well, even like you have to think some things were mid-production, some things were already produced, and people just weren't able to talk about them. So now it's almost
even
like
able to promote
now it's
anything.
Like spam of, oh, this is coming. We did this. Get ready for this. So I feel like this fall and winter.
Think of the late night shows will be stocked full of guests and good stuff.
Yeah, you're right. There's going to be a lot of content coming up.
They had a story about it on the news this morning and said you can expect most TV seasons will be a shortened like 12 to 13 episode seasons, and they'll start middle to end of January. So we can look forward to some new stuff next year. Until then, keep binging
your favorite shows.
Schitt's Creek on Hulu, whatever on Netflix, HBO Max, all the streaming stuff. So
yeah, for sure.
Steph, I have some interesting, it's not really news as of yet.
Okay.
It's a glimmer of news.
Ooh.
If you, as you know, Stephanie, and many of our listeners, I used to live in New York City.
You did.
One of my favorite days of the year when we lived there, and still to this day, is Marathon Sunday, which just passed. And Stephanie, when I tell you my TikTok feed has been flooded with inspirational videos that make me cry for complete strangers. I am 75% considering running the New York City Marathon next year.
How would you have to qualify? Detroit Marathon?
So, no, I could never qualify by time. So let's not get that excited.
Okay.
I'm not that fast.
Lottery?
So that is one way to get in is by qualifying by time. There is a lottery. It's based on the number of applicants and number of people selected, it's nearly impossible to get in by the mm-hmm. lottery. You can do the New York Roadrunners 9+1 program, which means you have to run 9 of their races and volunteer at one in the previous year.
Okay.
Which I actually was working towards when we lived there because I was a member, but then we moved and timing was just bad. And obviously it's too late to do that this year for next year because it's November.
Yeah.
Or you can run for charity. So if I do it, I will be selecting that option.
Okay.
They announce their charity partners in March. And my goal is to stay on top of my fitness and make a decision by the time they announce those charity partners.
So how does that work if you run for a charity?
So they only take a certain amount of people too, but you can apply to be on their team. Mm-hmm. And some levels get more entries than others.
Is there a fundraising component as well?
There's a fundraising goal that you have to meet. And if you don't meet it, you're responsible for the difference. From what I can tell, it's $3,500, which isn't impossible. It seems very doable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you do have to apply and get accepted to be on their team and raise the funds.
Okay.
And from what I have been reading, I've been doing a lot of research this week about it. From what I've been reading, it seems like that's kind of the way to go anyway, because you get other perks like running like gear and access to some training information. And if you live in New York, some group runs and private transportation to the start and private bathrooms at the start and finish. And it seems like it's, and you know me and bathrooms, that's an important perk. So I think I don't think I'm even going to bother with the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm just going to go the charity way. Because why not?
The charity. Yeah.
So TBD, about 75% sure. But when I ran my first marathon in 2010, I said never again, unless it's New York. And that's literally all I've ever said. That is the only one I would ever consider.
Yeah.
So.
And I remember years past when this season comes around, you kind of get the same feeling.
I get the same bug, but it's hot. It's hot and heavy this year, thanks to TikTok. So thank you, TikTok, for making me believe I can do something absolutely crazy.
You can do it. You've done it before. We'll see. You just did a triathlon. You can do it.
But I'll be running for twice as long as this triathlon took me. So let's reel that in.
Good thoughts. Good vibes.
So anyway, I figured if I put that out there in the public listening space, I am more likely to jump on board.
Accountability.
Side note, my friend Christine is running a marathon. She's very fast. She's running a marathon next weekend, the 18th. And she has a big goal. She has a personal PR goal, but she has a really big goal of qualifying for Boston. I said, bitch, if you qualify for Boston, I will sign up for New York the second you cross the finish line. No questions asked. So we'll see.
Wow.
We'll see. That's a lot of pressure.
That is.
I mean, she has a chance. She has a chance. Yeah. But
well, good for you too.
But I promised her. So
nice job.
We'll see.
All right, Katie, I am leading once again tonight for our episode, The Presidential Suite, aka I Look Like a Cheese Puff. Who doesn't love a cheese puff, though? Am I right?
I do love cheese puffs.
Yeah.
Are you a puff girl or like a crunchy cheese curls girl or balls?
We're cheese balls in this family.
Yeah.
We actually have an inside joke. We were arguing in a grocery store.
You and Sushat, or you and your family,
me
your mom
and
family?
Sushat, we were on one of our this was like 2 years ago. We went to Pittsburgh for Thanksgiving weekend. So like literally almost 2 years ago. And we were kind of arguing in a grocery store about what we should get. And he just like to break the tension was like, so are we getting cheese balls or what? And there's like a giant tub of cheese balls behind us.
Well, they come in the big barrel.
Which wasn't even what we were talking about. Yeah, they come in a barrel. And then when we got a Sam's Club membership, we saw they have those barrels there and we were like, we of course have to get one. And it was like the dumbest thing we ever bought. We've never bought it since, but they're good.
So good though. Wait though, before we get into the episode, we forgot about that. I sidetracked us and we forgot about the polls.
Yeah, you're right. We did have some polls.
Well, I'm still kind of on track with fitness because you did ask about fitness fads.
Yes, true.
Because last week we had those
elevation.
Whatever you call those things, stair stepper things. Okay.
Gateway climbers.
And we asked for funny fads and someone wrote in and reminded me of one that I used to laugh at big time. Who was it? Pingy on Instagram reminded me of the shake weight. Do you remember the shake weight? So The only thing that makes me laugh about this is I have pictures of videos of college friends doing this at a bonfire and we were having a competition. But it's like the most lewd gesture when you're shaking the shake weight.
So it's many like Christmas white elephants with a shake weight.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
That's so good.
That's a good one.
A couple other fun little things that people wrote in. Tiffany went to see Noah Reed in Boston. You know, he's touring right now.
Yes.
And first of all, she said she loved that episode so much. So thanks, Tiff, for that. Mm-hmm. But she said Noah talked a lot about his love of baseball in that concert. And here I dogged on baseball so much. So that was fun. And someone else wrote in Slovakia, which now this really makes sense. Did you see this one?
The chin chin.
Yes. During toast, they use it in Slovakia as it resembles the sound of clinking glasses.
Chin chin.
So that also makes very much sense why Moira is now saying it chin chin. Oh,
after the crows movie.
She spent a lot of time in Bosnia. So yeah. That was all fun to read up on. Thanks to everyone that chimed in this week. We actually did follow up on some of the stuff we wanted
to
know.
We actually did.
And people followed up for us, too.
Yes,
like, we didn't ask about
you.
That, but I love that tidbit of information. That's the kind of stuff we need to know.
And hello to our Slovakian listeners,
yes,
too.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Very nice. Anyway, back on track.
Anyways,
back to cheese puffs and Cheetos.
Back to cheese puffs. So, like I said, this week's episode is called The Presidential Suite. So we're going to start with tonight's cold open. We are at the new motel property, and there was a very official ribbon cutting ceremony.
Yes. I kind of love this.
I know. It's like, those don't really happen anymore, but good old Johnny trying to, like, you know, keep it classic with his business nostalgia.
Feel bad for him in this scene. No one's choking up his enthusiasm.
It's Johnny and Moira, the shits, and Stevie are all there. The whole team is there. Jocelyn is the only one blindfolded in this kind of like kinky cheetah print scarf.
I don't understand why she's the only one blindfolded. Moira didn't see the place either. Why doesn't she have to be blindfolded?
That's a great question. I don't know. I think maybe Roland was just really into it. Johnny is gung-ho for this tradition of ribbon cutting. Stevie and Roland are holding the ends of this blue ribbon. He asks for a drum roll, and Stevie says, I'd rather not. And then he asks for Moira to grab or to give him the scissors, which are supposed to be these like big, oversized, comedic scissors. And all she has are little cuticle clippers in her luxury clutch handbag.
That's on Johnny.
Yeah.
Like,
even says, did you expect head shears in this bag?
You didn't prepare for this. You wanted this moment, but you didn't prepare for it.
I've definitely been in a pinch where I needed scissors and all I had were like nail clippers, and I'm literally like clipping through whatever with
takes 7 hours to cut whatever you're cutting.
And so Johnny says, this is fine. He doesn't want this to spoil it. Hold it tight. Hold it taut. Whatever. Roland starts hassling him through all of it, though, and he finally just says, enough, just drop the ribbon. Good enough. Step one, check, complete. And now they can move on to step two, which is the deep cleaning of all the rooms, which does not sound fun.
Moira says, well, I'd like to help. What can I do?
Well, what's step three? Let me go to the next step. You guys can stay at step two.
Skip the cleaning, please.
Jocelyn, who has finally taken her blindfold off, though, says she might need to lay down. That blindfold was a little too taut. So that is the very anticlimactic official opening of their new motel or initiation, whatever you want to call it. There's still some work to be done.
Yep.
But that's where this group is going to hang out, minus Stevie. And we're going to start with them tonight, I think. Like I said, Stevie bails out quickly. We find out later she's got some maid of honor duties to report to back in town. So she leaves the two couples to do the deep cleaning of the rooms. And they're starting in this room, which looks much different than where that shady lawyer was camping out a couple weeks ago. This is, I guess, the equivalent of their red room. If we think about the honeymoon suite in
their heart-shaped bed,
the motel, this is their, what Johnny calls, presidential suite, which has a much more elevated mid-century modern appeal than the Rosebud Motel does.
I do love this vibe in this motel.
It even has like the raised floor for the bedroom area.
I noticed that. It's very classy.
It feels much more spacious. Yeah, things are outdated, but it definitely is surprisingly nice.
People choose that decor nowadays, though.
Oh, yeah.
To give their house that vibe.
This was literally all the stuff my grandma, like, when my grandma passed away and we were, you know, divvying up her estate and people were taking things, it was like a gold mine for mid-century stuff, because she literally held on to it for my mom's whole life, basically. Mm-hmm. So the team is hard at work for the most part. Johnny is gloved up doing some dusting. Roland is changing light bulbs or something. Jocelyn is on bathroom duty. Poor Jocelyn. And then Moira, I guess she's testing out the mattress while holding a French made feather duster.
I'm glad you said French made because it was a stereotypical.
Yeah. We watched Clue not that long ago and it's definitely giving it a French made vibe. Yep. Johnny calls the place a gold mine for mid-century treasures, basically, just like we said. Says it just needs a little dusting and lots of bleach, per Jocelyn, who's trapped in the bathroom. Katie, what is your protocol? You moved into a house. How many years ago has it been?
So 5 years? We've been 6 years, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay.
2017, we moved in here.
What is your general protocol when you move into a new place, cleaning-wise?
So, first of all, we were fortunate enough where we had some time overlap in our old house. And this particular house had a very big dog smell to it. Mm. Thankfully, we had time and the funds to replace the carpet. Yeah, to
replace the carpet. I didn't know that was
why. Well, that was one of the reasons it was a must do for me and because it was old. But the dog smell alone was like the reason.
Well, for sure.
Yeah. And then we actually painted too because of, like, it was just, it hadn't been done since the house had been built, just needed it. So we were lucky enough to have the funds and time to do that. Otherwise, we would not have probably. Mm-hmm. But in terms of cleaning, definitely wipe out the cabinets, put the contact paper down on the shelves. I even though I loathe that job with all my being, it's a must do for me. It just makes it look so fresh, you know. Dust off all the light fixtures because nobody ever thinks to do that. I know people that go out of their way to replace toilet seats, but I don't do that. I just clean them.
Yeah.
I just clean them. But there are people that are adamant about, you don't want to use that toilet seat that someone else used. It's like, why? I use public bathrooms and I cleaned it. It's not
just
like
did
I didn't
a good
clean
deep
it.
Clean.
Yeah. 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 I think those are the big things. Like deep cleaning the bathroom and the kitchen cabinets to me are the most important. Yeah. What about you?
I would say all those things. Like when we moved into this house almost 2 years ago now, we definitely, and granted we're renters, but we did a full deep clean, scrubbed down all the kitchen, like even the fridge. I do the entire fridge and freezer, Lysol the whole thing.
Yep.
I remember maybe like 3 or 4 months into living in here, we changed the furnace filter and that thing looked like it had not been changed.
Oh my God. Good thing you changed it. That's not only a health hazard, but a safety hazard.
Right. And now we change it however often we're supposed to, every 4 to 6 months
like,
or whatever.
With the time change, I'm told, just like your smoke detector batteries.
Exactly. Yeah. We actually just had to replace our smoke detectors because they expired. So even though we were replacing the batteries, they were still chirping at us. So we had to do that recently.
Safety first.
Yeah, I think just in general, any like kitchen surfaces, bathroom surfaces.
Yeah. Anything you're going to eat or do your whatever, what do you want to call it,
your
wellness routine at,
your wellness
your wellness at, anything you want to eat or do your wellness at, deep
the wellness room. It's not water closet, it's the wellness center.
I will say now, having left a house, I definitely like tried to keep things as neat as possible just for the next person coming in. But there was a point in moving out where I was just like, fuck it, I'm not doing this.
They're gonna go through everything anyway. As long as it's not insultingly bad.
Yeah. And I remember when we moved into our first house, the lady I was kind of in contact with her kept saying, well, I need a day to clean it. I don't want to leave it a mess. And I'm just like, bitch, get out of my house. Like, I'll clean it. You don't
I'm
going
to clean it anyways.
Yeah. So there was definitely a point when we moved out of our house that I'm like, I don't care. I'm just, we're done with this. Yep.
I know. I tried to be a really good tenant too when I moved on my apartment. A lot of that's just you want your security deposit back, to be honest.
Well, right. In that situation, 100%.
Yeah. So I think they're off to a good start. I would say, just looking around the room, I would be taking those linens and bedding and putting those in the wash on high heat because you
probably
knew,
probably new for linens,
or just
right
new.
In a hotel situation.
I think so.
Okay, so they're on the presidential suite and Moira's already laying around
in
on
the bed.
And there's like 10 more rooms to go, right? How many rooms are at this place? It's gonna be a long cleaning process.
Definitely. Johnny says he wants to rent this room as the presidential suite. This is when he has that marketing epiphany. And obviously they'll charge a premium for it. Why wouldn't they? This gets Moira nostalgic. Apparently in Shanghai, they had a secretary suite with its own aquarium and they had a view of the ocean and she'd lay in the bathtub listening to the orcas. She gets all sentimental about that. Yeah. And then Roland brings her back to reality when he suggests that he and Jocelyn take a little staycation in this suite. It's pretty appealing. I don't blame him. But Johnny warns them, you know, it's not good business practices to treat your assets like personal property. You have to keep it about the business and use it to get income. And Moira says, you know, this is classic Johnny. He even made me purchase a Blu-ray that I lost I or didn't return.
I thought it was one of her movies.
It is.
Oh, okay.
It's one that it was her own film that she starred in and she must have rented it and didn't return it. And it was a feminist police drama called Miranda Rights.
That Jocelyn happened to love.
Oh, she loved it. Yeah. I think she said she rented it 3 times or something. So Johnny says, all right, that's enough chit chat. Let's get back to work. The sooner we clean these places, the sooner we can rent them out and turn a profit. Which Roland is glad to hear about because they've been paying arm and leg and babysitting fees to Bob since they bought this place. And then they also realize that they have to get going because Bob, who I guess is currently babysitting, has his first cry therapy session tonight.
I was just going to ask you, who do you think cries more in this situation, Bob or the baby?
Oh, definitely Bob. definitely Bob. So Jocelyn and Roland are quickly out of there, leaving Moira and Johnny. And Moira thinks that Johnny was just trying to throw them off the scent of this idea to use this as a staycation retreat so they can keep it for themselves. But Johnny insists that he meant what he said about assets versus personal property. And you can tell Moira is shot down and defeated that he's keeping to his morals and even tells him not to suffer from vertigo lest he fall from his moral high ground.
The dizzying heights of his moral. That's one of my favorite Moira lines.
And then she proceeds to very passively, aggressively dust / demolish the room, just kind of whipping the
lapping it all over the place
in protest.
It's great.
So she's not happy that that was his response. Back a little bit later, we see them back in their own motel room back in Schitt's Creek. And Moira is screaming as she's being assaulted by the freezing cold water from their bathroom faucet, making a huge dramatic scene. And when Johnny comes rushing in, he says, well, Moira, you got to balance out the hot and the cold. So clearly she's making a big deal of things. And she even says, I'm sorry, I'm not an alchemist. And then as she tries to like leave, she pretends to get stuck in the
narrow door.
The narrow door.
Oh, my God.
Fitting through the eye of a needle, being extra dramatic. And Johnny gets the memo right away. He says, I get it.
I get it.
She wants him to reconsider giving them a room upgrade and not just temporarily for the weekend. Like
he's talking for good.
He wants to relocate. And she says they deserve it, you know, until they find a way to secure a way out of this town. But she's still lining it for that.
Yeah.
She still is. And Johnny agrees. Yeah, you're right. It is a bigger and nicer room, but we've done okay here the last few years. And what about the kids?
Are we just going to abandon them?
They're practically middle-aged.
Practically, they are.
And also makes a good point that they're not denying themselves, you know, happiness and self-improvement. So why should they? And he does see her point with that and agrees that they can at least, as he says, sample the product before selling it.
Do you think his original stance is a good one? Or what do you think? You think it's okay to indulge a little bit?
I think at this point, it's probably a good stance because if they get comfortable and in the habit of doing that, and with a motel, you only have like 10 opportunities a night to make any money. So if you're taking away 10% of your potential profits.
That's 10%.
Yeah.
At this stage in the game, though, it's not ready to rent out anyway.
It's not a
weekend away.
But they still haven't changed the sheets yet, as we suggested they
Maybe
would.
They'll bring some with them from
Maybe they will.
Rosebud.
Yeah.
I feel like that's one of the perks of being a business owner, though. Like, for example.
Okay. Oh, go ahead.
Was that one of your topics?
Well, I think
I've just been that easily swayed because now I'm thinking about, well, what if I had an Airbnb?
This is exactly what I was going to bring up, because my friend Michelle's husband, he's in real estate and now he owns a couple Airbnbs. Ooh. And she has since been able to use it for like a little girls get together for her little girls and their friends, mm-hmm. and suggested it for a Christmas getaway for us and our girlfriends. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's free if it's not being rented out anyway. What's the harm?
Right.
And also just perks of owning. Just think about, for example, my job. It's something as simple as window treatments, but I mm-hmm. get some perks. I got mm-hmm. cheap stuff for my house. That's mm-hmm. really cool. And it's like, you know, just enjoying the spoils of the mm-hmm. business a little bit. Yeah. As long as you don't, I'm in full agreement that they should not move in there. Yeah. But a weekend away at this time is a great.
Okay. Okay.
You know, sample what you're selling, like Johnny said.
And now I'm reevaluating my own.
Or for example, like Joe, free tours. If he goes on the tour, he can sell.
Or me, like free access to industrial sewing machines.
Or your classes.
Do I need to make anything?
Take classes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Very good. Like a wedding dress?
Yeah, like a wedding dress. I even floated the idea as a joke to my students for next semester, because they're like, I have a couple students who I'll have in a class.
Design competition.
Well, they're like, what are we going to do? I was like, I don't know. Maybe I'll just have you all make my wedding dress. And they were like, could we? I was like,
that would be awesome.
Absolutely no.
I mean, for them.
It would be awesome for them, but I would have to have a backup.
Yeah.
No offense.
Or like a lot of ground rules. Like a lot of GRs.
A lot of checkpoints.
Yes.
But yes, I think you're right. There are definitely perks that they could grow into straight out of the gate. Is that a good mm-hmm. habit to start? Especially when this is their primary source of income and it's not just like an Airbnb on the side.
Yes.
So there is a little bit of moral gray area.
Yep.
I will agree on that.
Just like everything. It's not black and white.
Exactly. It's not Moira's wardrobe. There is some color to the situation. So as soon as he starts to budge a little bit, she says, it's settled. I've already got your bag.
I packed your bag.
And she's out the door, ready to go.
She's like, oh, I knew you were going to cave.
So this other motel, I would guess it's within an hour driving distance. They're going back and forth. And we know that Betty and Benny were in the bridge club with Stevie's aunt. So they have to be kind of local-ish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next, we see them back into the presidential suite at their new property, settled in for a romantic staycation. Johnny putting on some jazz music and Moira's pouring martinis.
Ugh.
Liz, right. Says, how does it feel to be president in the presidential suite? Cut to Johnny's bad JFK accent.
If not now, when? If not you, who? We chose to put a man on the moon.
That wasn't bad. Moira says best to leave the voice work to her when setting a mood. And Johnny admits that he could get used again. Like, he tasted the forbidden fruit and now he's like, ooh, this is actually way better than our shitty motel room in Schitt's Creek that they've just gone numb to. And Moira, you know, they start dancing and Moira's like, I can almost hear the orcas calling to be fed or freed. And I'm like, are the orcas in the aquarium?
Yeah. Is that part of the
I thought they were
package?
In the ocean, but maybe they were in the aquarium.
They're going to free them free willy style. They got to jump the wall.
Really? Like, I truly thought, oh, he's just like overlooking the ocean. But no, I think
when you
orcas,
think about all that money can buy, though, it probably is part of the package.
It was like SeaWorld, basically. And just then, in the middle of this romantic moment, they're interrupted as the shits explode into the room with Roland Jr. in tow for their own romantic getaway. So double busted, basically.
Yep.
Johnny tries to play it cool. Oh, we were just putting the finishing touches on the polishing, and gets called out by Roland for doing exactly what he told them they couldn't do.
Good for Roland, though.
Yeah, I think so. They're hypocrites. Johnny asks, you know, well, what are you guys doing back here? And in a chess move that wins them the room, basically, sure. Says, well, we thought we could get a weekend getaway because we've had to rent out our guest bedroom to
pay for
expenses of this place. And Jocelyn would really like to spend a weekend without having a stranger taking over her kitchen. Which makes Johnny admit, like, yeah, I was a bit of a stickler earlier.
You can see Moira just completely surrendering and rolling her eyes. She puts her drink down and rolls her
eyes.
Like, okay, we're done.
it's over. And Roland says, oh, no, but you keep the room. We'll just sleep in the truck.
With a baby.
With a baby. Or this... we could take your motel room back in town and it would be like wife swap, except mattresses instead of wives, I think.
Have you ever watched that show?
Only a couple times, and it really was dreadful. Cringy. It was so cringy. Yeah. Katie, can you imagine being swapped?
With
first
who?
Of all, first of all, the patriarchy of it all. Like, that was probably the worst part of the show.
Yeah. But
who would you want to be swapped with?
I'm just trying to imagine my life if I were swapped with you. Like, I feel like I would take that opportunity to learn everything I could about the Indian culture and make him take me to all the best Indian restaurants in town.
Oh, my gosh. And then I could go on a vacation with Joe.
Oh, man. That's a way better deal. Unless Sushant's taking me to India with him.
Oh, wow. I think your reality would be more justifying why we have to save this piece of cardboard. Because that's literally my conversation.
Or, like, for you, why does Joe talk so loud?
I think we're better off where we are. It's the moral.
The situation with them, though, how they had to get a renter and now they're coming to the motel to stay the weekend makes me think they must have sold the cabin and all this deal, too.
Yeah.
Or maybe even not because of the motel, but maybe even when Roland Jr. was on the way, they decided to... Because, like, Roland took the job at the motel for more money.
Yeah.
And it only stands to reason that if you had a second home, you would sell that for money. Like,
yeah.
You don't need that.
And unless they're using that as Airbnb or something. Which...
Or maybe they're renting it out for income. That's true. But at this point, I feel like that's obviously not in the picture then, you know.
Money is tight.
Because why wouldn't you just go to your second residence?
Right. Exactly. Good point. So I think when Johnny and Moira hear that, they're like, okay, clearly they're in a worse situation than we are.
They can have it.
We'll give them the room. They agree to give in and cut to Jocelyn's excitement and Roland, his own bad JFK accent, which is more, as he said, upstate New York. He doesn't think he's from Boston. And him and Johnny are going back and forth debating who has the better JFK while Moira just grabs their bags and she's out the door.
Come on, John. She can hear outside yelling over. For him.
Don't drag it out. Let's go. The dream is crushed. So that's how the presidential suite story ends. I think we'll take a quick break and throw it to our sponsor, Katie, and then we'll come back and see what Patrick and David are up to.
Excellent. This week's episode is sponsored by the region's newest budding franchise. It's Rosebud Motel Group. When you find yourself venturing off the beaten path, there's nothing more immersive than dwelling in a local, one-of-a-kind, mid-century motel, and the Rosebud Motel Group is the perfect choice for a night's stay or two. Now offering stays at two exciting and unique properties, you'll appreciate the authenticity and room decor, the unique staff experience, and the hospitality with their complimentary towel services, cinnamon bun breakfast, and weekly lice checks on all rooms. Mention this podcast to receive a 20% discount when you book a four-night stay in their new presidential suite. Because if not now, when? If not who? You. Thanks again to Rosebud Motel Group, where every stay is one of a kind.
All right, and we are back. Thank you to our sponsor, Rosebud Motel Group. We're Thank so you. Excited that they're sponsoring Rosebud us Motel. And growing as a business.
Yes. You know, they've even expanded to Vegas, where I was recently, Steph.
Oh.
One of our rooms there was part of the Rosebud Motel Group. And in the lobby, you know how they have themed slot machines? They had Rose family slot machines.
Oh, that's
so there
fun.
Were signs like faces of Moira, David, Johnny, Alexis, and even the shits and money bags. And if you got five crows, that was the jackpot.
That sounds like an actual
And
fun
if you
game.
Got five bobs, you lost all
you
of
lost
your money.
All your money. Gwen shows up and takes all your a woman dressed as Gwen.
You know, I actually was going to talk about this when we got back from Vegas is why they don't have a Schitt's Creek. Themed slot machine because they have all kinds of shows.
Everything
like I've
else.
Seen Walking Dead and all that. But then I was thinking, you know, it has to do with licensing and that's kind of an untoward habit. And the levies probably don't want to contribute to ill habits of, you know,
possibly
it's an addiction.
Mm-hmm. It is.
But it would bring, I mean, I would play that.
Maybe instead of putting our beloved characters, just put the worst of the worst, like the Jigs and Sebastians and all the shit ones. Not the actual shits, but
Claire. Aunt Dee Dee.
The original little sister.
We got Clifton Sparks, who's coming up in an episode or two.
He's on the list.
Lots of good ones. Yeah, we could put the baddies in there. Why are the writers not contacting us for this idea?
I don't know. Well, when this episode goes out, we'll be waiting by the phone. The strike is over. We're ready to proceed.
Yes, we're ready. We're ready for you guys.
All right. Thank you again to our sponsor. We're going to move on tonight with Patrick and David. I relate to this story because they are going to be getting some engagement photos.
Wedding
taken.
Stuff.
Yay.
Yes.
They're at Ray's home office, of all places, if you forgot.
I love that he's a photographer.
Looking through a portfolio of his photography skills, there's a photoshopped diagonal Ray floating over a volcano. Then he's in the jungle, in outer space, and then another volcano. Stevie chimes in, as maid of honor, I picked the second volcano. So this is just where she had to, she couldn't help clean.
Once again, just here to push buttons.
This important moment as maid of honor. And David tells her, you are hanging on to that title by a thread, by the way. So he's not appreciating all of the sarcasm. David asks if they could see something a little less theme park wedding-y, aka just a little more simpler, a little more refined.
Annie Leibovitz in Vanity Fair. Exactly. Simple like that.
Easy. Let's also take a moment to appreciate David and Patrick back in the space where they first met.
Yeah.
Remember when he came in for the business license?
Also was going to note that the last time David was in here, not only did he meet Patrick, but there was another couple getting their own engagement photos of some sort done.
Oh, you're right.
They had the tennis racket and things. Yes.
Totally. Forgot about them. So yeah, it's a great, and again, like a good wrap-up season six bookend of their journey. And it's all thanks to Ray. Who would have thunk? Thank you, Ray.
Ray freaking Butani.
Yeah. But as you said, David is imagining more of a sophisticated look, like two rich people who fainted on a dusty couch.
In a Victorian cottage in the off-season.
You know, just something like that. That can happen, right?
Sure.
Let's talk a little bit about, first of all, I've seen your wedding photos, which you got married in the fall. I remember there were like pumpkins and it was very autumnal.
Yeah.
Did you ever do engagement? Did you do engagement photos?
So no, we did not. So I think I've mentioned this. There's a lot of things we didn't do because we were just poor and young. And
living in New York.
So the person doing our wedding pictures was back in Michigan and it wasn't accessible to us in New York. And it didn't really matter to me to have engagement photos at the time. Looking back now, I think it's just nice to have photos not in your formal wear. So I would have kind of liked to have that. But we've also gotten a couple photo shoots done ourselves our adult ages. Mm-hmm. So just the two of us.
So I actually did engagement photos for both of my brothers. I realized this
as we took them.
I was realizing this as we were getting set up for our engagement photo shoot, which was a couple weeks ago. I'm still eagerly waiting for the photos. I've only seen those first few proofs. I'm hoping we get them soon because we want to send out save the dates.
Yeah.
But I remember I was so excited and glad that we did that. And especially after it happened, I was like, this was such a good choice. But in the moment, I was like, I don't know anyone else in my family who did these. And then I realized, I took the photos when
here's
both of my
what I was surprised at is because you did this as like a test run with your photographer, but a lot of photographers just include it if you book them for the wedding.
Well,
but you didn't know at the time if you wanted to go.
Well, we didn't have a wedding date when we booked her. So that's
didn't know that yet either.
We didn't.
Okay.
She was literally one of the first things we booked. And then between that time and then when we actually had the photo shoot, we had all our wedding details. But then it did kind of become a nice
trial. Luckily, she was available, too.
And she was available. And so it ended up working out. But yeah, I remember going, like, my younger brother, Greg, and his wife, Bree, like, we went to the beach. And it's also very weird directing your brother to be romantic.
Yeah. Okay, put your hand on her face and, like, turn her this way.
Look
and
like you love each other.
Look longingly into each
Let's
other's
have
eyes.
A little kiss. Yeah, it's weird. And then even my older brother, we did photos for them. But they were, like, young and poor fiancés. They were in their early 20s when they got married. And so it is kind of funny that, I don't know, this is, it feels like
and
an obligatory thing to do nowadays.
You had like a camera, but like a nice Canon, right?
Right. Like I had like taken
not a camera with interchangeable lenses, but like a nice Fuji or like a nice Canon.
No,
camera.
I had a DSLR.
Oh yeah. Shit! Okay.
Because I could picture
this happening with one of those zoom lenses, like a silver Kodak point and shoot. Yes.
I took a couple digital photography classes in college. So I think those were my only DSLR. I think that's what made me qualified.
See, that is Joe was a photographer before he met me.
I knew what an ISO was.
Oh, see, I would have never known that.
Yeah.
Joe has taken some some baby pictures or some senior pictures here and there because he has the nice camera and has the eye for that.
Yeah.
Well, wow. So you never really excelled off of that engagement photos career.
Because to me, just like with wedding videography, that feels so high stakes. Like if you mess up and you miss the moment, there's no redo.
Well, that's a moment you can redo, though, Stephanie.
Well, I just mean photography in general, photography.
Yeah. Wedding, forget it. That is a high stakes game.
So, yeah, we had a bit of a vision for ours. We chose a location that had like this. I still haven't shared the photos that we've gotten, but we'll post those.
I saw them.
We chose this location that had this really beautiful, like, columned temple. And I did kind of pick out our clothes to be like, we wanted to look like a couple of Victorian babes. So we were all kind of suited and dressed up kind of nice. And
I love them, by the way. And I love that temple-y thing. And Savannah at work, who knows you, was like, those pictures are so Stephanie. Like she, it was like 100%. I said, yeah, like she orchestrated that shit.
And I was a little worried because sometimes you go into something with a theme in mind and you're like, is it going to seem silly or tacky? Like, we're not having a Star Wars wedding, even though we're getting married on Star Wars Day. Is this going to seem kind of weird and silly? But our photographer loved that we put thought into it and we didn't just show up in like jeans and a going out top.
Oh, for sure. Because you're not the norm.
That's not me.
You're not the norm also, but like for her, you're not the norm. Yeah. Like people don't think about that stuff and the photographers have to work extra because of it, but they you made her job easier and I was that like, day.
Here's the vision. I brought it. So David definitely is also trying to bring the vision. The problem is they're in Ray Butani's living room and resources are scarce.
And also Patrick's a white Irish boy. That's another problem.
He's a tidy whitey. And Ray mentions, you know, he's still trying to sell. He's always
on. All the extra shit.
All the extras. Have you thought about wedding favors? We've got some lovely mouse pads. I've got dozens in the basement. And he runs to go get them.
But he also showed the one of Jocelyn, which I never noticed until this walkthrough.
Yeah, so when he comes back, it's one that has Jocelyn on it. And when he's gone, David tells Patrick, I've got a little bit of an early wedding present for you to make this day more special. I'm going to send you to the spa, give you a nice 5-minute scalp massage, and Stevie's going to drive you. Is his car still in the shop, is what I'm wondering.
Must be.
And after the massage, she's going to get some light sun, which he kind of glosses over that, trying to hide it
because he knows it's not going to go well.
Just a kiss on the cheeks, a gentle spray, a.k.a. Patrick, you need to spray tan because you are so pale. And Patrick says, thanks, but no thanks. And Stevie's right there chiming in. Oh, I'll take it if he doesn't want it. Who doesn't want a free spray tan? And David says, you two are going to go off. I'm going to stay here and deal with this situation with Ray, try to get something that matches his vision. And Patrick says, this is not necessary. Sounds like more work than anything.
Doesn't sound like a gift, David.
Does not sound like a gift at all. But David says, listen, believe me, you need this. And to prove it, he has Stevie take a photo just to show him.
He does have a fair point. Like, he's pretty pale next to David, but
he is. Against David's, as he says, Mediterranean skin, Patrick looks a little bit anemic. And even Stevie agrees when she takes the photo that it's not great. Patrick gets defensive and is like, well, it's just the lighting. But OK, this is where you're going to be taking photos. So
you should look good in the lighting.
We don't need to go full cabaret stage makeup, but maybe just a little bit of color could be
right.
Helpful.
A little bit.
And this is when Ray comes back with the mouse pads of Jocelyn under the sea. which is only available during winter months, in case you were wondering.
Why?
I don't know.
Why is that only available during the winter months?
So begrudgingly, Patrick is off with Stevie to get his spray tan so he looks more suitable. David stays back, trying to set up a better scene. He's trying to do that thing where you're getting fabric to like look like it's draping effortlessly.
Just casual, but
it's actually very hard. And I have given up with that on throw blankets. I used to try to make them look naturally draped, and now I just fold them so they look nice and crisp. He's brought.
But you want a better Homes and Garden that shit, right? You want a magazine picture. That's right. Why you do it.
Right.
You want it to look nice.
Exactly. He's brought some vintage looking furniture. I don't know where he got it from. It almost looks like where, you know, it belonged in their old mansion living room in season one before they got evicted. But Ray is kind of questioning this whole vision. David defends it as an English estate in the off season. And Ray makes a good point. Do you really want people to think about your relationship
in the off season? In an off season?
As a dusty old estate in the off season?
Do you watch Handmaid's Tale? You do, right?
Yes.
So that when he says that, it reminds me of that time when June went to meet Nick and they were in that big old mansion and everything was covered with all this dusty fabric and stuff.
Yeah.
That's what it made me think of.
You cover all of the things with the white linen so that it
doesn't get all dusty.
Fade and get dusty.
Yeah.
So Ray isn't feeling this vibe. Suggests something a little more lively, like his country fair backdrop. Who doesn't love a Ferris wheel?
Ferris wheel would look so cute behind you.
He's going to go grab another mouse pad just to show him. And just then, Stevie comes back in. She kind of explodes into the room, feeling very good and confident.
She's very proud of herself right now.
Looking very glowy and hot, as she says, when he's trying to figure out what's different about her. And she got a spray tan, courtesy of David's credit card, which he says, well, now you're a fraud and a criminal.
He thought that Patrick gave his away. That's what he originally thought.
She said, no, I just got one too. And she warns him before Patrick comes in that he spent a little too much time and he's a little more saturated than they intended. And as Patrick comes in, Stevie gasps. No, sorry, David gasps.
This is real. This is real laughter. There's no doubt about it.
Stevie runs away laughing. The color I would use to describe poor Patrick is terracotta.
Terracotta. Yes, that's very good. That's clay, terracotta. I've read a lot of stories about this particular scene and shoot date, where it being one moment where Moira, Catherine O'Hara, and even Dan Levy, where they could not keep their laughter under control.
I don't blame them.
Because Noah Reed was walking around, even when they weren't shooting, like in the lunchroom and stuff, like just,
yes. In the best showing me the book. Pictures. There's quite a few pages from this week's episode.
He's in like the costume room or something.
Yeah. And like his hands, his whole face, his neck, his chest, it's all terracotta.
I have seen like so many interviews with people saying this is the one day they couldn't keep it together. Like they were just laughing so hard at them. Have you had a bad spray tan, Stephanie? Have you had a spray tan one and have you had a bad one?
Yes and yes. The ones I've gotten professionally have turned out pretty good. I have gotten spray tans before weddings, but I made sure to get it a few days before because, first of all, those things develop over the course of like 12 hours. You will wake up the next morning looking way tanner than you did when you went to sleep. And then you want it to like settle in. So never right before an event would you ever get a spray tan like Patrick did. And that's David's fault. They could have scheduled that earlier. But I've done like at home tanner and that stuff can get
blotchy. Like the lotion or the spray.
I'm pretty sure when I went to prom, as like a 17-year-old, I had some pretty blotchy feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, even recently, I used some of that like, it's like Jergens sun-kissed mousse stuff to like give yourself a little bit of a glow. And then I wore Crocs and my feet looked like freaking Swiss cheese.
Polka dots.
All of the like...
stuck to
the moisture in those sweaty shoes. It was not good, but it wasn't very dark, so it was fine.
So I only have ever gotten a spray tan once, and it was before a vacation to Mexico years ago for my friend Anne's wedding. And I only did it because I had a group, like there was a Groupon for it, and I didn't really know how it was gonna go, but I was full on like topless, and it was a human, not a machine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, we're doing this, eh?
I've only been in a machine.
Yeah, so I did that, and I did keep my underwear on. Like, that was, like, the one place I was not okay with her seeing.
Yeah.
Because we're all women. Who cares about boobs, right? But, like, it did get very... It was fine, but it did get very weird and splotchy, like, around my joints, like, my knees and my ankles and, like, anywhere your skin bends.
That barrier cream, too, for, like, elbows and places that
I didn't know.
In between your fingers. Well, she should have given that to you. Like, they should know.
So now, I wouldn't, yeah, I wasn't really impressed with the whole situation. Mm-hmm. So now, like, I have to be very careful about sun exposure because skin cancer runs in my family, but I'm really, like... really adamant about sunscreen. I wear so much sunscreen, and I'll just get like a natural little tan by the end of the year. And I figure as long as I'm not like out there 3 hours a day, leather facing it and putting baby oil on my skin, like I feel like I'm safe as long as I even go to the dermatologist regularly to check, and he'll say wear sunblock, and I was like, oh, I do. He's like, I can tell even though I'm fully tan. It's like you just have to like give yourself that ease. It's like any kind of, it's like a workout. You got to ease into it. You can't just go out and get skin cancer, sunburn right away. or like Ross Geller on Friends.
Exactly.
Remember the episode where he got
all on the front, none on the back.
Seven times on the front.
Yeah.
So Patrick looks like a cheese puff.
He does look like a cheese puff, and he's the one who admits it. He's clearly upset, insecure. He even tried to get dressed up to like offset it, but it's still very much
attacking the eyes.
It's too much. Yeah. He says, I didn't want to do this in the first place. David's like, well, what happened? And he says, I don't know. I've never done this before. I just asked for what you get. But David reminds him, I'm practically Sicilian. I just need a little bit. This is way too much for you.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Just then Ray comes back. He says he couldn't find the mouse pads, but he almost doesn't recognize Patrick, says he looks like he has that disorder from what people have from eating too much carrot or too many carrots.
Scurvy? Which, what is it?
No, I've got some info, but it's not scurvy. It's like kind of like jaundice, but not. I remember this myth as a kid, and I was always worried about it because
it's like vitamin A overload.
It's beta carotene overload.
Oh.
So I did some research on the clevelandclinic.org. It's called keratinemia, excuse me. It's a condition characterized by orangish yellow discoloration of the skin, usually secondary to excessive ingestion of foods rich in carotene. And some foods, not just carrots, that are the most popular beta carotene filled foods are things like apricots, cantaloupe, carrots, of course, mangoes, oranges, pumpkins, squash, sweet potatoes, and yams.
Orange things.
Well, it is. It's a lot of orange things, but it says it's not just from those warm colored produce items. It could also be things like apples, cabbage, leafy greens, asparagus, even sometimes eggs and cheese. But you would really have to eat a lot of it to see that level of discoloration. It says if you're eating 10 full size carrots a day for a few weeks, you might develop it.
It's like something that TLC is eventually going to be having a freak show about. My carotene filled life.
My strange carrot addiction. So, yes, clearly Patrick is not feeling good about this photo shoot.
He's eaten one too many carrots.
He's already got the set to a place that he's somewhat happy with. He tries to assure him, you look fine. We might as well go for it. No need to mention, like I said, Patrick's already kind of dressed up. He's got like a nice blazer and a white shirt. Where David is just in his normal grayscale knits. Like, that's just David's look, you know, he's ready to go.
Yeah.
And David says, don't worry, we can use Photoshop to kind of lighten it up a bit, tone down some of the oranginess. The case, they could have just done that in the first place.
And yeah, they could have toned it up a little bit too.
Tone it down. So Patrick kind of begrudgingly agrees, but is not really into it. He won't even smile for Ray, who starts taking pictures.
I think this is as good as it's going to get. He says at one point,
just get it over with. And it's so awkward, but you see it. David trying to push through with his vision and being all modelly and posy. In the Best Wishes book too, they have three of the stills that you see him swiping through the iPad later. And David is just so like child.
I love the one where he's
JC
like
Penny model
leaning backwards and like looking over his shoulder.
And Patrick,
you guys,
is so orange. So
if you don't have the book, you have to see these, or maybe they show them when Stevie's looking at the phone later.
We'll post these photos on our Instagram too, because they're
very funny.
David's eyes are all warm and
it's
happy,
so funny how white Patrick's eyes look next to that orange skin. Like, just gross.
And his
white
eyes, like his irises are so brown too.
Yep. Like it's like super dark round sections with bright white plates around them. Well, how would you describe it?
Exactly that.
Oh boy. Oh, that's funny.
So they get through this photo shoot. It's awkward. I can't imagine the photos are going to be great. Also, Ray's photo skills don't, like, his camera has a flip out window, almost like a camcorder. So
yeah, like an LCD screen, little LCD
who knows
screen.
What these photos are going to look like. Cut to later, back at Patrick's apartment. David is looking through the photos that Ray has already sent over, and they're so bad for Patrick, but so good for David. He's so model-esque,
of course,
as we were saying. And that's all David can focus on. He won't acknowledge how awful and unhappy Patrick looks in any of these. He's too obsessed with himself. And Stevie even points that out. Just then, Patrick comes out of the bathroom after his ninth shower, which is more showers than David took when he peed the bed, I think. And he finally found the right balance of...
Of good skin. I just ran across a TikTok. Sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
Where they were showing a bride's reaction to her, not only her husband, but her dad too, went and got the wrong level of spray tan. And they were so dark. The husband had to take 4 showers and he was an acceptable level of dark, but still very tan.
Yeah. And so it can get.
I wouldn't know. Yeah, I wouldn't know without like testing this out in real. Maybe we should do a test, Stephanie.
Maybe
we should go get really dark spray tans and
Thanksgiving,
then take
maybe
count the number of showers it takes us to get it off our face. I'm good with that.
I think I'm good too. So, anyways, David says, "Well, this is what you were supposed to look like from the beginning," and
deadpan.
Patrick, well, should we go back to Ray's now? And David thinks he's being serious. He's like, no, that was totally sarcastic. And asks Stevie, are there any usable shots? And she says, well, not anywhere we can see your face or hands. So basically, no. And Patrick says, well, I guess my relatives will just have to imagine what the love of my life looks like. Because I guess they're not all getting invited to the wedding either, is kind of what we figure out. And so David,
I could see that.
Yeah, David caves in a little bit and says, well, maybe we can extend the guest list to invite a few more of your distant relatives. Or we could maybe just send them some of my pageant photos from when I was a kid.
headshots.
We'll mail them my headshots.
You know this, though, like you're keeping your guest list small. So maybe not everyone in your family knows Sushant, is going to know Sushant or even who he is. Right.
Well, they know of him, but they don't know him. And we're even like navigating some holiday stuff where. We've discussed, like, how do we feel about going? Because sort of the standard in my family for weddings has been that you invite everybody, and we're not doing that. And we're kind of having to be strategic with some holiday events because we don't want to be put in an awkward situation.
Oh, like, I can't wait for your wedding. Oh, well, you're not invited.
Yeah, basically.
Da-da-da.
And we plan on doing something more casual in Michigan later. It won't be a wedding, but just like maybe a
I get it, though.
Thing,
like, one, it's expensive. Very expensive. And then
it's
you also want to be like with the people you know the most and not introducing people at your wedding.
And I don't want to have to worry about making sure everyone like is having someone to talk to or like having a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so
Crystal and Dan kept their list very like in the family side. It was. Literally, and like we have thousands of cousins. I think we talked about this. Mm-hmm. I have 17 grandchildren on my grandma's side, my Sweeney side, and like they just did aunts and uncles, and the cousins we're actually close with. We have dozens of cousins that weren't invited that I know, but mm-hmm. Does Crystal know them?
Yeah,
and does she talk to them? And would she recognize any of them if they saw them in the store?
Right.
No, 100% no. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm not inviting a lot of people that I do know, but it's just like we chose our venue, we've made our list, and it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we're not where those people are either. So it's not like
right.
They're down the road. They are in a
It's not like
state.
It's easy for them to come regardless.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
But anyways, so I get it. So this kind of ends with forcing Patrick back into photo shoot mode. David says, let's use this as a, you know, teachable moment for both of
us. You look good now. Let's do it.
You look good. So let's just roll with it. So let's see, you know, if we can get a good couple candid shots and has Stevie take a photo and almost like a test shot and shows Patrick like, oh yeah, you actually look decent. And that is enough of a boost to his ego to be like, well, okay, we'll take a couple more. And then he's like kind of into it. And David starts doing weird things again with his hands and posing. And it does remind me.
I hate that like prom pose type.
Well, when we had our engagement photos and I told our photographer, I'm like, okay, we're going to need lots of instruction because I felt awkward at first. And she gave us really good instructions. And she also told us what looked awkward. Like at one point we were holding hands and she's like, that just looks like a ball of fingers when you
look
do that. Look at that ball of fingers if you're interlocking fingers. So she said, don't interlock your fingers. But David and Patrick are doing all these weird, well, it's mostly David doing these weird poses.
Right. So we'll even Patrick says, what are you doing with your hands at one point?
He's like caressing. So that's the end of our engagement shoot storyline. And again, a good kind of quick, funny one, but has some good wedding progression in there.
Uh-huh.
And then we come to the end of our episode or our last story, which I think is the most important, which is Alexis's story. Starting Steph's that morning favorite. That everyone else, no, as we'll find out. I mean, it's good, but it's sad. Oh, let's just dive in. So Alexis is home alone at the motel and suddenly there's a knock at the door and she is surprised to see that it is her one and only Ted, fresh off of several planes all the way from the Galapagos, here to surprise her for a long weekend, which is huge. We haven't seen him in person since he left after the cabaret party, end of season 5. So he is suddenly here in person and he got the long weekend off. Apparently there's like 30 other people on his team who can, as Alexis said, babysit Bill the turtles. And he even got her a little gift from the airport, which that's kind of been our souvenir tradition as of late when we don't.
Something from the airport?
Yeah, for ourselves. Like we don't give gifts from the airport, but we've gotten like shirts from the airport and like magnets from the airport if we're traveling because we like didn't have time or forgot to get souvenirs elsewhere. Mm. So Ted is here. She's so giddy and happy. You can see she's really missed him and it's a really sweet moment.
And apparently, she's really frisky.
She's feeling, as we call, twirly. She's feeling a bit twirly.
Twirly.
And he would have been there the day before, but he had some flight troubles. There was a delayed flight. And then there was a whole milk situation where it's like, why would you order milk on a plane? But I guess they were passing out cookies, so...
Cookies and milk. Okay, I love that this milk situation comes up today because I was just talking about milk with a guy at work today.
Uh-huh.
So, do you drink milk? Like, drink it? So, like, the only... I use milk for my cereal.
I don't even drink dairy milk anymore. I drink almond milk.
You're a nut milk.
Extracurricular
milk. Yes, I remember that. So, like, we don't drink it here unless I've baked fresh cookies or fresh brownies and I'm a dunker or I put it on my cereal. Other than that, I never grew up like drinking milk like that. And I was just having this conversation today with this guy at work, how weird it is that we as humans drink milk.
It is a ploy
by the dairy industry.
The got milk trend. Remember the milk mustache?
It is something that is so unnecessary and so weird when you think about the biology of other mammals and how they drink their mother's milk and then they never drink anything else besides water when they're done. And yet we go out of our way to drink another mammal's milk. Like, how weird is that? I'm sorry, but... It's good for just a few things in my life, but I'm never drinking it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm definitely not requesting it on an airplane.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's just turbulence and that milk.
Talking about it today before I left for home. And I was like, oh my God, we're talking about this tonight. He just got done watching that documentary that was popular a few years ago called What the Health. And I've seen that. And that's a big point they make is the push by the dairy industry and the lobbyists. And it's like, all this, it's all about money and it's crazy. Yeah. Nobody needs milk. It's gross. It's fucking weird and gross when you really sit down and think about it guys.
But I do love cheese, as we know.
Cheese. I mean, who can live without cheese?
Yeah. So anyways, he had some bad milk, a flight delay, and now he basically lost a whole... He was supposed to be here for a long weekend and now he just has one day. He has got to fly back the next morning, it sounds like.
Man.
So Alexa says they need to make the most of it as she's pulling him over onto her twin
to the bed.
Time to get busy real quick.
Yikes.
She just wants to get, as Olivia Newton-John said, let's get physical. And she does. But she does quickly ask, are you still sick? And he says no. And then she pushes on. So doesn't want to get
I don't want any digestive issues during
milk
my
sickness coming back up. She does have to take advantage of her limited time with the family out of the motel.
Yeah, Moira
as well.
And Johnny are at the other motel and David's out at his shoot. So mm-hmm. she's putting the sock on the doorknob and nobody's coming in, right?
So after their post-sex afterglow, Alexis suggests we do that like 3 or 4 more times and then maybe do a little walk to your place and hang out there some more, winky wink. So she's definitely got some pent up.
Girl's got stamina.
Energy. Ted does tell us, though, his mom has been staying at his place, which that explains a little bit about what's going on over
taking
there.
Taking care of a few things.
And he doesn't want to walk in on his mom and her Zumba instructor, Zoom Bill, as we remember.
And have to
her.
Zoom back over here.
And zoom back over here. You can tell something's kind of on Alexis's mind as he makes that pun and says, you know, he came here because he wanted to see her, but also there was a conversation he felt like they need to have and he wants to do it in person. And in that moment, she feels like, are you going to break up with me? Because you're sounding like when I broke up with B-Rock from the Backstreet Boys on the Millennium Tour. Which,
well, if that ain't a flat blast from my past.
But also, we know that JC Chazes was in David's wedding vision board. So it's kind of like they both had a connection to the Backstreet Boys, I guess.
They're in my generation, man.
They're my
kin.
Well, you and David have like the same birthday.
Yeah, just a couple days away, right?
So she panics like, this sounds like you're breaking up with me, which he assures her he isn't. But he just needs to tell her some important news. And that is he's been offered an extension or a permanent spot, rather, on the research team in the Galapagos, which could be for 3 more years. So suddenly this 6-month commitment is 6
Got
times
intense.
More complicated.
Yeah.
And
5. Oh, wait, what?
6 months times 6 is 3 years.
Oh, yeah, it's 3 years. I was thinking like 300 is 3 years. Oh, I don't have the
303
math.
Years.
I haven't taken a math class since the year 2001, guys.
That's okay. So she's really caught off guard by this.
Yeah,
I think we all
that's
are.
That's a big deal.
And she's like, well, what are you going to tell them? And he said, I don't know. I've had 3 plane rides to think about it. And I wanted to have a solution when I got here, which makes you kind of think, where was his head at before he saw her? And he even says, once I got back to you, like, I don't want to lose this. So they need to figure out what they're going to do. And she needs kind of some space to figure out her own options and what she thinks about all this.
She's really brought down. Like,
she's like, I have the chills and
7.
Getting sweats at the same time. This yeah. is a real conversation.
It was a lot more fun before we started talking.
Yeah, exactly. And he said, you know, I took the long weekend, but then the milk derailed most of the time we were supposed to be able to have to figure this out. And she says, I'm going to need some time to think this out. You know, I don't work under pressure very well. That's how I ended up with a pixie cut at prom. And I'm like, oh, my God, we need to see photos.
I can't even picture that. I literally
I
cannot
picture
that.
It either. But, oh, my gosh. If
we should ask
has,
ChatGPT to make an AI version of Alexis.
There we go.
We
do
can
it.
Do that.
We'll
if
do
ever
that.
There was a need for AI.
That's the need right there. So Ted just says, we have to find a way through this. But you can see Alexis is feeling insecure about this. So to clear her head, she goes for a run and ends up at the cafe, which is a very flashbacky moment for her. And even, like you said, she hasn't gone on runs lately, I don't feel
yeah.
like. And Twyla's there at the cafe and can see that something's on her mind and offers her a smoothie. And she's so distracted. She's like, oh, that's okay. I'll just have a smoothie. Like, isn't even listening.
But that's typical. Yeah. Twyla's always filling in sentences that Alexis finishes in the exact same way.
She's, you know, looking around the cafe and remembers their first meeting kind of in a daydream. They both look so much younger back then.
They do.
Too.
It wasn't even that long ago.
Like her hair was parted way over to the side. Uh-huh. And they just, his hair was all dorky.
Ted had the comb over. Ted had like the comb over.
They both had kind of a comb over. Yep. Yeah. They just look so different. And
I
Twyla,
love that they flashback to that.
Twyla brings her back out of her daydream. And, you know, Alexis just asks Twyla, why can't things be easier? And tells Twyla about this job opportunity and wants Twyla's famous advice. You know, should I leave everything behind and move to some random island to be with the love of my life?
This is very...
What do I do?
I love that Twyla doesn't tell her what to do here.
No.
Because you know she's given her a lot of advice before, but she knows Alexis has to make this decision by herself.
She
it's
admits
really, this is it's tough. Really like actually bringing me like warm and fuzzy sadness like right now. Yeah. Just talking about it. But when I was mm-hmm. watching it back, I was like, she can't tell her. Like, she can't tell her what to do yeah. here. You'll make the right decision.
That's all she can say is you'll make the right decision. You always do. And Alexis kind of gives her a look and she says, eventually. You always eventually yeah. figure it out.
Well, not always.
And kind of leaves yeah. her to figure things out. And she looks over to the empty booth behind her. And there's kind of this lingering moment, which will make sense in just a minute. Mm-hmm. Because later we see, it's later that evening and Ted shows up to the cafe looking very dapper in his suit. And she finds Alexis standing alone by their booth. It's the same booth that they had that virtual date not long ago mm-hmm. earlier this season. And the whole cafe is empty. And he asks how she managed this. And she says she politely and forcefully asked everyone to
just get out.
But it's so beautiful. There's nice music. It's very reminiscent of that virtual date that Ted yeah. set up for her a while ago. Yep. Now she's the one, you know, putting this together with the ambiance and the mood music. Twyla is again there as their waiter for the evening, telling them the menu, which is so cheese forward. It's poor Ted.
Cheese after the cake. Dairy incident.
Four
good
cheese
Lord.
Lasagna, blueberry cheesecake, all cheese of his
mozzarella sticks for the appetizer.
Yeah. All of his favorite cheat meals, which happen to be very dairy heavy. And Alexis admits she may have forgotten about the whole milk scenario. This meal would put me in the ER. We know I can't handle that much cheese.
I was going to ask you about that.
Could not do it.
You know the dangers of a big cheese meal.
I do. I know firsthand. But he appreciates this gesture and goes on to address, as he says, the elephant in the room. And Alexis basically is direct and like she's already made her decision for them. Mm-hmm. And she says, you can't move back here. You're on the brink of an opportunity that could be life-changing. It's your dream job and there's no turning back. There's so many gross flies down there for him to discover. And as a surprise to him, she can't move with him. You know,
may come but as a shock to you.
But he counters back and says, I wouldn't have even let you. So it's like they both knew.
They both
That's
knew.
What's hard. They both knew, but they not neither one of them wanted to admit it until they both were ready to admit it, basically. Oh, Katie.
Everyone's so disappointed about this.
It's
heartbreaking, right?
It's heartbreaking, but it's also...
But you know it's for the best.
It's such a realistic scene. I think that's what hurts yeah. is like... And I don't blame... I'm not mad at the writers about this. It's more just they spill the truth of a situation like mm-hmm. this. And it's just sad. It's just like sad.
A couple weekends ago when we were talking about Alexis not going there, I said, what would you do? Would you give up your dream job for a guy? Like,
but that's when they were talking 6 months too.
Yeah. And now it's forever.
Inevitable. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So
definite, I mean, yeah.
So I don't know if you looked in the book. There's a lot of stuff the book, but mm-hmm.
I mean, this was so let's get through the scene and then we'll talk about the book a little bit. But you know, he says, I wouldn't even let you come if you try. Like he's been there long enough to realize this isn't a place for her, and admits that she's been building something so special
look at all
here
she's doing here
with
yeah.
her career, and he's so proud of her and she's so proud of him. They're just being so complimentary and supportive, and that's what makes it hurt more. It's like, damn, that it can't work because you're so good to each other and so good
and
for each
you've
other.
Both grown up so much and especially her up. But
even he's grown up. Like they both admit that they've gotten where they have because of the other
mm-hmm.
and they couldn't have done it without each other.
This is one of the most emotional moments of the show.
It is. And that's what I think is the frustrating part, is like this situation is what made them unable to stay together. And it's not who they are or how they feel about
it's
each
just
other.
It's just a matter of circumstances.
It's circumstance and it's goals and it's directions in life that are now going,
you know,
in
maybe
different directions.
Someday in the future, 5-10 years from now, they meet again and it works out.
Maybe. I don't know. I went from, remember season one, I hated Alexis so much. She just got under my skin with everything.
Yeah.
And then I grew to appreciate her. And now I'm like, And now I'm like, she deserves better than this.
I think she grows the most in this show. I will stand on my grave saying that.
Absolutely.
Like, and they all grow big time, but she does the
biggest
most.
Transformation.
Yep.
And there's this really sweet line that again comes full circle where
she says
so grateful to have met him. And he says, I don't think I'll meet another woman who makes me feel the way you do. And she says, I'm sure there'll be some other woman somewhere, which is a throwback to when they first met. And he said she was the most beautiful woman he'd ever seen.
Girl, though, that time. But now girl, she's a woman. I'm sure there's some other girl somewhere, she said.
Yeah.
So cute.
They say, you know, can't say we didn't try. And it is so sad and deflating. And they give each other a kiss and say they love each other. And then they snuggle into the booth as this sad song, which will now always make me feel so sad.
I know.
It's called Dedicated to the One I Love by the Mamas and Papas. And it's just like,
I cried hard. And then that's it.
That's the episode. And it's almost a surprise ending because we don't get that extra little fun scene. It's just over.
I cried when this episode came out, and I was shell-shocked when this happened. But now looking back at it, having watched it a dozen times or more, and now analyzing it, it's like, this needed to happen. But it doesn't make me any less sad about it.
Less sad. Exactly. And what I think is sad, too, I feel sad for Ted because this is his departure from the show.
Yeah, mid-season. He's done. We will not see him again.
And they talk about that in the book. Like, this was a really hard day for them to shoot because it was Dustin Mulligan's, his wrapping of playing Ted. That was his last scene.
Yep.
And
Annie Murphy.
Annie says that everyone is in tears. Eugene was crying and she had to like banish him from the set because she's like, we need to get through a few more takes. And every
you need
time
to get out of here because I need Eugene to perform.
Basically. But I talks like, about how they have like they changed together and not for the other person.
I like that you said that. I was just going to read that. They changed with each other and not for each other, which is so, so important in a relationship. Maybe someday. Maybe someday.
But it's just, I feel like
it's like I've never left an episode of Schitt's Creek feeling sad until this one.
I feel really sad.
This is the first one. Don't you think? Like, what other one? There's not another one that's made us sad like this.
No. It always ends with
but proud, right?
Optimism. I don't know. I just feel
you don't think proud even at all.
I'm too stuck in my feelings. And I've watched it so many times and I'm still stuck in my feelings. Maybe in like 10 years, I won't be so stuck in my feelings. But
well, we should see what our viewers think. Like, are they, I know it's sad, but are they sad but proud or just sad and like they should have just made this work out, right?
Yeah. I mean, we already know David and Patrick are going to work out. And I understand from the point of storytelling, like they all need to have a different kind of ending. But it's just, we talk about how we love the growth and the humanity of this show. And this would be such a hard thing to witness with friends or people you care about in real life. And I think that's why it's just hard to see that with characters that we love too. So anyways, this is why I'm so conflicted because I don't think it's wrong. I just think it's sad, a sad reality.
It's just depressing.
And I have one would you rather to wrap things up because we've gone long tonight. Surprise, surprise.
Shocker.
Katie, would you rather have Ray take your engagement photos or would you rather go on a couple's weekend with Roland and Jocelyn?
Ooh. Oh, God. I think the couple's weekend would be more interesting. Oh. Why would I have Ray take my engagement photos when you could take them for me, Stephanie?
What if I take them in the style of Ray?
I think I would
go for the Ray photos. Just
I love a good iconic Ferris wheel in my background.
Yeah, some Photoshop. I love graphic design style.
I heart graphic design. I think I would go the couple's weekend. It might be interesting to hang out with the Schitts for 48 hours.
They might bring their baby though. Just be aware of that.
You didn't say that. You just said the Schitts.
Well,
they can leave that bitch home with Bob.
With Bob, pay him for the whole weekend. 72 hours.
Didn't Bob need a place to stay recently? They could just be trading Bob like lodging for babysitting.
Well, that's why that was renting the room. They never said for sure.
Yeah.
But he's got to be somewhere at this point.
Yeah, I think I'll take the weekend with the Schitts. It'll be interesting enough.
All right. Fair enough. Well, Katie, we got through the saddest episode.
Saddest episode.
It's not my little sister in the way that I don't like it.
Next week's
is
mine.
It just makes me so sad. Next week.
Next week.
I don't know, but next week is hard for Alexis too. Tell us what we're looking to looking forward to next week.
Yeah, next week is hard for Alexis because she's on the rebound, of course. Like, who wouldn't be devastated after this breakup, right? So we're going to see a little bit of that and how she's handling the breakup. The shits even still are looking for extra money, extra income to help with the motel enterprise. And there's a little scandal involved with Moira and her talk about the town, I guess. So we'll just leave it at that. It's not a big storyline, but it's just a really amusing storyline with Moira next week. So
yeah.
It's definitely one of my little sister episodes this season, yeah, though. Kind of a go nowhere episode. We're winding down. Like, it's only fitting, right? We're gonna get those.
We're in the back half of it all.
Yeah, so. We sure are.
Some polls we can put out there this week in the meantime.
We should ask how people are feeling about this Alexis and Ted situation.
Totally.
As serious as it is, mm-hmm. We should know. We should get the vibes from people. Yeah.
Any good engagement photo stories or awkward family photo stories or like awkward photo, like school photos, professional photo stories.
Or bad spray tans.
Spray tan stories.
And what else? Have you ever stayed in a presidential suite?
Yeah, that's a good question.
The fanciest hotel should room we ever stayed at.
Or should we ask like personal property versus assets?
Should you make personal and business? Like business when you own a business. Pleasure. Yeah, business with pleasure. That's a good one. You think Johnny was right to step that way at first? Of course he caved in the end, but
he totally caved.
So next week. Not next week. Just kidding. I was going to say next week we're in person, but that's the week after, right?
Yeah. Thanksgiving is just 2 weekends away.
We'll be together for Thanksgiving, but not next week. We're still in our separate spaces.
Yeah.
But great.
We are winding down. Hopefully everybody's doing all right out there in these dark evenings.
Find yourself a hobby to do after 6 p.m.
Yeah, I think that's it. Something to keep you busy like, till like 8:30, where it's not honestly, so pitiful to start.
And I am I'm fortunate to get off work at 4 and it's still somewhat light out. But today I had to run an errand after work and it was 5 when I got home. And it's like, what? How is it nighttime already?
So, and this happens every year.
I know it.
It sucks.
None less depressing.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you don't have a depressing week. And again, if you're out there and you voted in the election last week, proud of you. Thank you. Kudos to you guys. Kudos to you all. Hope you have a great week. Participate in our polls.
Random facts. We love that.
Hit us with those random facts. We love them. And until next week, Katie, best wishes.
And warmest regards.
Fats Patchoula.